I have a brother-in-law who actually had struggled with some major health issues for a number of years, and he finally found a doctor who was able to help him. And it was really interesting because one of the first things that the doctor said to him was, "Let me see your tongue." And so the doctor looked at his tongue, and he said right away, he said, "I can tell right from looking at your tongue that you have a major vitamin D deficiency, a major vitamin B12 deficiency, you have a folic acid deficiency, you have an iron deficiency." He said, "Then that can tell me that obviously your body is not absorbing minerals and vitamins the way it's supposed to," and he went on and on from there. And I just thought it was really amazing that the doctor could look at his tongue and tell that much about the inside of what's going on in his body. You know, a lot of times we can draw some spiritual correlations to things that are in the physical realm. And just like a doctor could look at our tongue and see some of the things that are going on inside the health of our body, we can use our speech to see what's going on inside of our spiritual heart. That's what the Bible says. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about our tongues. And some of the things, if you just look through scripture, man, there's tons of scripture about your tongue. So let me just tell you a few ways the Bible describes our tongue, okay? Sometimes it's directly, sometimes it's indirectly. Here's what the Bible has to say. The Bible talks about a wicked tongue, a deceitful tongue, a lying tongue, a perverse tongue, a filthy tongue, a corrupt tongue, a bitter tongue, an angry tongue, a crafty tongue, a flattering tongue, a slanderous tongue, a gossiping tongue, a blaspheming tongue, a foolish tongue, a boasting tongue, a murmuring tongue, a complaining tongue, a cursing tongue, a sensual tongue, a vile tongue, a whispering tongue, and we could go on and on and on. You get the point. The Bible has a lot to say about the words that are coming out of our mouths. And on the flip side, we won't do all the negative here, but there's some positive things the Bible has to say. It also talks about a restrained tongue, a silent tongue, a truthful tongue, a wise tongue, a gentle tongue, an edifying tongue, a gracious tongue, a seasoned tongue. And again, we could go on and on. The point is, the Bible has a lot to say about our tongues. And maybe that's because most sin problems come from our mouths, if you begin to think about it. Now, they don't originate from our mouths, but they do come out and manifest themselves from our mouths. And really, there's nothing more representative of our sinfulness than our mouth. And even James is going to tell us today that our tongue is like a world of unrighteousness, meaning that all the evil in the world can be found on a small scale in our tongues. It's kind of a heavy statement, isn't it? And really, there's no easier way to sin than with our mouths. I mean, maybe there would be something that I would choose to do if I had the opportunity, but the opportunity just isn't there. But I can say anything I want to say, right? There's no restraint on my tongue unless the Lord's putting it there. And so you can see our tongues can be an issue. And James also felt that our tongues were very important. He comes at it today with some pretty hard-hitting things. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at what James has to say about the tongue. And I think that one of the reasons why he felt so strongly about the tongue was because he says that our tongue is really a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. He says that our tongue is actually the representation of the maturity of our faith. And if you can get a hold of that, I mean, I started to think about that, and it's like, I don't know that I had ever thought about the fact that our speech is really like the distinctive factor in where we are in the maturity of our faith. There's a lot of things I might have said, okay, if somebody's mature, maybe they look like, they read the Bible a lot or they pray a lot or whatever. And James says, no, the mark of maturity is the control of your tongue. So we're going to talk today about what James has to say about the tongue. And then we're also going to look at how we can bring our tongues under the control of the Lord. We want to look at both those things. And we're going to do that by walking through 4 P's of the tongue. Okay, we're going to walk through 4 P's that describe the tongue. And this comes straight out of James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. So let's get started today. We're going to start by reading James chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. And that's going to bring us our first point. So I'm going to get my Bible here so we can read this together. And let's read verses 1 and 2 together. It says this, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body." Now that brings us to our first point. And our first point is this, the problem of the tongue. The problem of the tongue. The tongue is linked directly to the heart, and no man can tame it. the problem of the tongue. The tongue is linked directly to the heart, and no man can tame it. So James begins here with a warning, and he says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, meaning that those of us, those people who teach really have a great responsibility because our words have power. Now, before you kind of like take this warning and like, oh, it's not me, so I guess I can like move on in scripture, I want you to think about the fact that all of us have opportunities to influence others with our words. You think about if you're a parent, you're a teacher. You have the opportunity to influence your kids with your words. Your words have power. If you're a coworker, you're influencing people with your words. Your words have power. If you're a family member, you're influencing people with your words. Your words have power. And James says that's something that's to be taken seriously. That's a great responsibility. And I was reading, as I was studying for this, and one of the commentators I read was Warren Wiersbe, and here's what he had to say about the power of our words. He said, the power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has given us. The ability to speak words is the ability to influence others and accomplish tremendous tasks. And yet, we take this ability for granted. You think about it, that really one of the ways that we are made in the image of God is that we have the ability to speak words, like God speaks words. And it is a great responsibility because our words have power. Now, why does it matter so much what we say? Like, okay, so our words have power, maybe they could influence others. Why does it matter so much? Well, it matters because our words, James says and Jesus says, are simply a revelation of what's going on in our hearts. In Luke 6:45, Jesus says this, out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouths speak. Meaning that our tongues, the words that we speak, are simply revealing what's going on in our hearts. It's like a window that we have into our spiritual life to see what's going on and how things are going. That's what Jesus says. So if you think about it then, a critical heart is going to produce what? A critical tongue. That's the words that are going to be coming out of my mouth because my heart is in a place where it's critical. A bitter heart's going to produce a biting tongue. A self-righteous heart is going to produce a judgmental tongue. A loving heart, then, will produce a gracious tongue. An encouraging heart or a trusting heart will produce an encouraging tongue. And that's the connection Jesus is making here. So the point is, our words really are not the problem. The problem is that all that stuff is coming out of our hearts. It's just revealing what's going on in our hearts. You can think about it like this. Just say you went to a well, like an old-time well, and there was a bucket and a rope, and you lowered that bucket and rope down into that well, and you pulled it back up, and you saw when you looked into the bucket that water that was in there was just nasty. Maybe it was black, it had bugs, it stunk, like obviously not able to drink it. And you looked and said, I can't believe that bucket. That bucket's got a real problem. Obviously, that's silly, isn't it? The problem isn't the bucket, the problem is the well. And that's what we're saying here. When the words coming out of our mouths are an issue, that's not actually the problem. The problem is our hearts. And our hearts have to be changed and transformed if we want our words to be changed. So we're saying here the tongue is a problem. Well, why is it a problem? James says to us, it's a problem because nobody can control it. Because we don't have the ability to transform our own hearts, and our words are just a reflection of what's going on in our hearts, nobody can control it because nobody can transform their own hearts. James even goes on to say this. He says, we all stumble in many ways, right? He's in that sentence, he's really referring to himself. He's referring to people who teach. He's referring to everybody. Everybody stumbles in many ways. And he even goes on to say, and this is pretty amazing, if you can control your speech, meaning if you allow your speech to come under the control of the Lord, and you're, he says, perfect in what you say. Now that word perfect we looked at in our homework, and it doesn't mean that you never make a mistake. It means simply that you are walking in the fullness of the Spirit in such to such a degree that you are living step by step, word by word, according to how God desires you to live with his help. That's what it means. And he says if you're walking like that, you are a mature, you're having a maturing faith. You are a perfect man. You are mature in your faith, able also to keep your whole body in check. So this is pretty amazing when you think about this, that your tongue, if you're able to get your tongue under the control of the Lord, it literally will affect every other area of your body. It's kind of like it's a master switch. Has anybody ever had to like do some work in your home and you go downstairs or wherever you have like your electrical room and you have your electrical box? Like, and just say you have to do some work on a light switch maybe in your family room. So you go to down to the electrical box, you flip the switch to your family room and all the power goes off, right? And you're able to work there. Or maybe you have to do some work in your bathroom. So you go and you flip the switch to your bathroom and the power goes off and you're able to do work at the electrical whatever things there. I'm not an electrical person, so whatever it is, you're able to do it there. Well, James is saying this, that your tongue is the master switch. At the bottom of that box is a master switch, right? And if you flip that switch, the power goes off to every other place in the house. So you could flip the switch to the family room, but it doesn't matter because the power's already been turned off by the master switch. James is saying that if you're able to get your tongue under the control of the Lord, that it's like that master switch, shutting off the power to every other area of your body which would have a temptation to sin. That's pretty amazing. That can really speak to us and how we are to should go about discipline in our lives. It's the tongue that has to be addressed first because the tongue is a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. So we have to ask ourselves a question now, okay? Because the tongue is this reflection of what's going on in our hearts, what does your tongue reveal about your heart? That's something I want you to be thinking about, and hopefully you've thought about it through the homework this week. But what does your tongue reveal about your heart? You see, we can take a look at our speech and begin to see the ways that the Lord desires to transform us. And we don't want to look at our speech and just continually to beat ourselves up and to be frustrated. That's not the point. We want to look at our speech to see the areas that the Lord wants to transform us so that we can bring those areas to Him. We can look and say, Lord, this part of my speech I see is a problem. Like for me, let me just tell you all my stuff, right? Not really, but a little bit maybe. for me, something that I've just been noticing lately is that I have been harsh with my kids. Like, I'm like, we gotta go, let's go, what are you doing? You know, like it's just boom, 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 and there's been some harshness. Well, that's a sign to me that there might be something going on in my heart that needs to be addressed. There's a lack, really, of the knowledge of the grace of God that I need to be understanding in my heart and life. And so, and that's not something I could need to be frustrated about, but I can bring that to the Lord then as I'm seeing the ways that He desires to transform me, as I'm looking at how my speech is a problem, and then I can ask Him to do His work in my life. That's what can happen as we see into the windows of our hearts through our speech. So what does your tongue reveal about your heart? I want you to be thinking about that even as we are talking today. All right, so that's going to lead us to our next P, okay? And our next P is going to come from verses 3 to 6 in James chapter 3. And here's what it is, the power of the tongue. So we've seen the problem of the tongue now. No man can tame it because it's just a revelation of our hearts and nobody can transform their own hearts. Now we see the power of the tongue. The tongue has the power to direct your life as well as to corrupt it. The tongue has the power to direct your life as well as to corrupt it. Now, what James is going to do now is he's going to talk about how our tongues affect us personally. So let's read together verses 3 and 4 now. And that's going to kind of bring us to our first point, James's point about how we should control our tongue. So he says this, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So James is telling us here that if our tongues are brought under the control of the Lord, they have the power to direct our life on a safe and useful course. They can be a very good thing if they were brought under the control of the Lord. And he gives us two analogies then. First analogy he uses is the analogy of the bit. Now the bit is just a 4-inch piece of metal that goes into a horse's mouth, and it's attached to a headstall, and then there's reins attached to that. And if that bit is in that horse's mouth, and if that horse is taking that bit correctly, a rider could sit on that horse, and he can direct that horse wherever he wants it to go. The horse is very useful to him because he can direct it. And that's what James is saying our tongue is like. Our tongue, under the control of the Lord, can be used to direct us on a safe and useful course. It can actually direct our lives. And then James uses another analogy. It's kind of saying the exact same thing. And that's the analogy of the rudder. And back in James's day, you know, we kind of think of a rudder maybe as like with a steering wheel and it has that little thing on the back of the ship. But in James's day, a rudder was actually a steering oar. So basically just like two oars in the back of a boat. And a large boat with the sails would be sailing along the sea, and there would be one pilot in the back of the boat, and that pilot would steer that boat with those oars. I don't even know where that came from. Sorry, oars. No man can control their tongue, right? There you go, right there. So with the oars, yeah. I'm going to laugh because I see Whitney just laughing and laughing. Anyway, with the oars, not the udders, the pilot would steer that boat. And all he had to do was put like one side in and, you know, it would steer it wherever it needed it to go. It'd keep that boat on a safe course. Without those oars, that boat would really just be headed toward rocks. They'd have no control of it, over it. And so in the same way, it's the same thing. James is saying, when our tongue is controlled, it has the power to direct our life on a useful course, just like a bit or just like an oar would in a ship. Now, one thing that's interesting to think about is this. You know, have you ever heard of the fact that a horse will sometimes not take the bit? Ever heard that? And I forget the exact terminology, but they actually call a horse that takes the bit well is called a soft-mouthed horse. And it's easy to direct. I mean, you can just take the reins and you can just pull with even like a slight finger and that horse will respond and just turn right away. And it's also interesting, I think, to think about the fact that on these ships, there could only be one pilot directing these oars. If there were two pilots, it was very dangerous to the ship. So maybe you can see where I'm going with this. And really, we need to ask ourselves, are we a person who is soft mouth? Do we respond quickly to the direction of the Lord in our lives? Are we allowing him to control our tongues? Because James says if we do, our tongues can be this thing that are just so useful to the Lord. And they can just keep us on this safe path if we will respond to the Lord. So really, we have to ask ourselves, are we soft mouth? Do we take the bit? Do we respond to the Lord? Or are we in the back of the ship trying to grab one of the rudders? Yeah, I said that right. One of the oars. I think that's why I said udder, because it's rudder, right? They're trying to grab one of the oars from the Lord and trying to take control ourselves. And I can tell you that's not going to direct that ship down a safe course. So now James has told us that the controlled tongue has the power to direct us down a safe path, a good and useful path. And now he's going to use another analogy to tell us just the opposite, that the uncontrolled tongue has the power to corrupt us. And this comes out of verses 5 and 6 now, so let's read those together. Here's what they say. Oh, my page turned. I was like, that is not the right thing. There we go. That's better. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. And you think, how do you really feel, James, right? He really brings it, doesn't he? Listen, his point is that our tongues, uncontrolled, will stain us. They will direct our lives down a path that is dangerous. And he uses then this analogy of the fire. Think about the potential and really the power that a fire has to do great damage and to do it really quickly. I'm sure you've heard of the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Probably most of you have heard of that. And I was looking into that a little bit. And so the legend has it that there was a cow in a barn, the O'Leary's barn, and that cow, there was a kerosene lamp, it got kicked over by the cow, and that fire started, and they were not able to get that fire under control for some reason. I mean, it just spread so quickly. And by the time they got that fire under control, 100,000 people had lost their homes, 17,500 buildings had been destroyed, and 300 people had died. And that is the potential, the power that a fire has to just blow things out and to damage and destroy. And that's the analogy that James is making here. He's saying, your tongue and my tongue uncontrolled have the power to damage and destroy. We need to bring our tongues under the control of the Lord. And James even goes on, and he describes the tongue even further. And he says this, "Your tongue is also a world of unrighteousness," meaning, as we said already, that our tongue, like all the evil in the world, can be found on a small scale in our tongue. And then he goes on to say the tongue stains us, meaning that it blackens us. If it's uncontrolled, this is what it's going to do. It blackens us. It stains us, just like if you put a piece of wood into the fire and it gets black. That's what the tongue is going to do to us, James says. And he even goes on to say and kind of insinuates here that it doesn't even matter the amount of stain, whether it's like all of us are black or this little piece is black, it stains us. A stain is a stain. I was thinking about how when I got married, you know, I had my wedding dress on, you know, when you're like doing all the prep for the wedding and maybe you're eating something or you're getting your makeup done, like you're being very careful not to get anything on that white dress, right? I know for me, I would be like covered it up so that there wouldn't be like this little mascara drop, you know, that would come on there, because that, even that little bit of a stain would mar the whole dress, right? I didn't want a little dot right here. I wasn't going to say, oh, that doesn't matter. It's just one little bit. Well, you know, it was noticeable. It would mar it. And that's what James is saying. Our tongue is like for us. It is a stain to us, whether big or little. If it's uncontrolled, it's a stain. And then James goes on to say, it sets the whole course of life on fire, meaning that it's like gears on a machine, like it will just make one thing happen, then the next thing happen, then the next thing happen, then the next thing happen, and so on as it leads you down this path of destruction. Kind of like the game Mousetrap. You ever played the game Mousetrap as a kid? You know how you had to like set up the game, and if you set it up right at the end of the game, you would turn this lever, and it would make this boot kick, and it would knock this bucket over, and it would go down the stairs, I think, and it would knock this ball, and it would go down, and so on. And if you did it right, at the very end, the mouse would be trapped, and you would win the game. Well, that's what James is saying here. That's what the tongue uncontrolled is like. It just is, it's going to make one thing happen, then the next thing happen, then the next thing happen. It's just this process, and it leads to danger and destruction. That's what he's saying. And then finally, he says, the tongue itself is set on fire by hell. Now, the word for hell here is Gehenna. Gehenna, actually, was the garbage dump outside the city of Jerusalem. And if you can imagine a place that had been used for garbage for thousands of years, literally, I actually read that Gehenna was still used as the garbage dump outside of Jerusalem up until the 1990s. So we're talking a place like thousands of years of garbage, where people just throw stuff, and you can just imagine the smell and the nastiness that's there. I mean, it'd just be gross. I think even about like where you see those big mounds of garbage, but they have them covered over with dirt. Have you ever seen those? Like you drive by them, you're like, what's that smell? And it's been covered up and everything. And it's like all the garbage buried underneath this dirt. This is not buried. It was a nasty, nasty place. And there would be fires going in Gehenna all the time, just because they just kind of would spring up because things were just so horrible there. And that's what James is comparing the tongue to. This is where it gets its energy and evil from, is from hell itself, this place like Gehenna. And so we got to stop again and ask ourselves a question. And that is, like, where is your tongue directing you? Are you allowing the Lord to control your tongue? Because James is saying there's really not an in-between. You can't be kind of allowing the Lord to control your tongue, and maybe you're not quite down this path of danger. James is saying, no, it's either it's controlled by the Lord and you're walking in the Spirit, growing in maturity of faith, or you're not. And either it's directing you down a useful path or it's not. Where is it that the tongue is directing you? What kind of power does it have in your life? So now, James is going to bring us to, this brings us really to our next point. The next P about the tongue. And James is now going to talk about, he says, hey, your tongues control you, they direct you. And he says now, hey, your tongues also affect other people. So now your next point is the potential of the tongue. The potential of the tongue. The uncontrolled tongue can be used for great evil, while the controlled tongue can be used for great good. The uncontrolled tongue can be used for great evil, while the controlled tongue can be used for great good. And this comes from verses 7 through 12 in James chapter 3. So let's read that together. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison.
With it, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And so James gives us some analogies here to help us understand how the uncontrolled tongue can be used for great evil towards other people. And you know, tongues can be weapons of mass destruction. Tongues can launch wars and holocausts. Tongues can be the death of marriages. They can be the death of families. They can be the death of churches, careers, hopes, reputations, missionary efforts, governments. Man, our tongues can do great damage, can't they? And so James says, here's what your tongue is like if it's uncontrolled. Here's the kind of damage it can do. First of all, he says, it's like an untamed beast, like a wild animal, just acting on base instinct, basically is what he's saying. Only out for self. I was watching this YouTube video, and this girl actually, and it's kind of a funny situation, I guess it kind of is not, but I'm thinking she's okay since it's on YouTube now and everything's good. But apparently she was canoeing through Alaska, I'm guessing by herself, and she had all of her supplies in the front and the back of her canoe. And so that was like her food and everything. And apparently she had come up and pulled her canoe up onto a shore. I don't know what she was doing. Maybe just going to the bathroom. I don't know what she was doing. And while she was gone away from her canoe, a bear came up. The bear smelled the food. The bear wanted the food. Untamed animal, just acting on instinct, right? And so he starts to shake the canoe. And with his claws, he ends up poking holes in the canoe, and he ends up damaging the canoe. And the thing that's funny about it is the whole time this is happening, so she decides to video it, right? Because, of course, that's what you do now if something is happening, right? So the whole time she's standing there saying, bear, stop, bear. Why are you doing this, bear? Bear, what are you doing? Like, for 5 minutes, this is what she's doing. I'm like, honey, I don't think that's going to help. But the bear was doing that. Why? Because it was an untamed animal. It didn't care about her stuff, right? It just wanted to eat. And that's what James is saying our tongue is like if it's uncontrolled. It is instinctive, acting only on the base of what it feels like it needs, when it feels like it needs it. That's our tongue uncontrolled. And you can see that bear probably really didn't want to damage. I mean, he wasn't trying to hurt this girl, right? He was just acting on instinct. And in doing that, he damaged all the girl's supplies. And like I said, I think she probably made it out safe because her video is on YouTube now. So I'm assuming she's okay now. She's back in like the land of the living, right? And then James says, not only is your tongue like an untamed animal, it's also like a restless evil. Now, this is an interesting analogy because this is actually a reference, really, to Satan. Think about it. Satan himself, the Bible says, goes to and fro throughout the earth seeking who he may devour. He never settles. And that's what James is saying our tongue is like. It's never settled. It's going to and fro when it's uncontrolled, seeking who it can devour. Seeking to promote self. Seeking to do whatever is good for me. That's the uncontrolled tongue. And you can imagine the kind of damage, and you've probably experienced it yourself, unfortunately, that will do to other people. If your tongue is just out for itself, looking to see who it can devour, that's going to be damaging to others, isn't it? And if we didn't get the idea yet, James is going to go on. He says, not only is your tongue like an untamed animal, not only is it like a restless evil, but it's like now a poisonous snake too. And you think about what poison, snake poison, venom, does to people. What's the point of it? It's to kill, isn't it? And James is saying our words, uncontrolled, will only lead to evil, and the result will be death for other people. Now, obviously, that's not physical death, but just like we've said, man, the tongue can be the death of marriages and families and relationships and churches. Man, it can be the death of things, can't it, if it's uncontrolled? And James's point, be careful with your tongue. It's got to be controlled by the Lord. And then he even gives us another analogy, too. And he says, your tongue is not only untamed if it's uncontrolled, it's not only like a restless evil, it's not only like a venomous snake, but it's also, we're going to say, call it two-forked. Because he goes on to say that when your tongue is uncontrolled, yes, sometimes this stuff towards God might come out, like, oh, I bless you, Lord, I praise you, Lord. But then
these curses towards other people. Like literally, I'm speaking death on other people, as he's saying. He said, if your tongue's uncontrolled, that's what's going to be coming out. And that's a problem. And he says, and he kind of brings it all back around here. He said, that's a problem because whatever's coming out of you is coming from inside of you. And if that's what's coming out, there's some not good things going on inside of you. There's some things that need to be transformed. And he says, look at nature. You know, we all know that if there's a water source, a spring, that if it cannot have both fresh water and salt water coming out of it. We know that, right? We know that if there's a fig tree, it's not going to bear olives, he says. And if there's an olive tree, it's not going to bear figs. And so his point is, if there's junk coming out of your mouth, there's stuff in your heart that needs to be dealt with. He kind of brings it back around full circle here. Now, just like our tongues, though, can be used for evil if they're uncontrolled, man, our tongues can be used for good if they are controlled by the Lord. Man, people live because of words that are said, don't they? The Bible says that our words can be a tree of life. The Bible says that not only death is in the power of the tongue, but life is in the power of the tongue as well. That's Proverbs 18:21. The Bible says that a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 15:4 says that. The Bible says that a wise man uses his words for healing. Proverbs 12:18. Man, our tongues can be used to bring life. Tongues can reconcile people and make peace. Tongues can make marriages sweet. They can make families strong. They can make churches healthy. Tongues can give hope, can't they? They can give hope to the despairing. They can advance understanding, and they can spread the gospel. Our tongues can be used to bring life. And what James is doing here is he is telling us, though he's not saying it directly, all this behavior, all this uncontrolled tongue stuff needs to stop. He's saying, bring your tongue under the control of the Lord so that it can direct you down a path that is good, so that you can use your tongue for life. That's what he's saying to us here. And that's going to lead us now to our last point, because James kind of ends it right there. But we don't want to end it right there. We want to talk about how we can bring, We want to talk about how we can bring our tongues under the control of the Lord, okay? And that's our last P, the practice of the tongue. Allow the Lord to tame your tongue as the Spirit enables you to walk in a maturing faith. The practice of the tongue. Allow the Lord to tame your tongue as the Spirit enables you to walk in a maturing faith. So one thing we have to recognize here, as James has already said, we can't do this, can we? We can't tame our tongues because we can't change our hearts. This is God's work in us. But this is not us sitting back saying, Lord, you know, I'm seeing what needs to be changed. Just go ahead and change me. Do whatever you want to do. And then you're sitting back, and the next time something comes out of your mouth, you know, you're kind of doing nothing. Next time something comes out of your mouth, you say, Lord, I asked you to change me. Come on now, right? That's not what this is. This is us walking with the Lord, and I love this term. This is a Spirit-energized commitment on our part to respond to the Lord and allow him to do the work that he wants to do to transform our hearts and mature our faith. This is, say that again. I don't think I can. I'm sorry. This is a Spirit-energized commitment where we are joining with the Lord, cooperating with him, allowing him to do the transforming work in our hearts that he desires to do. So I didn't say it the same, but it was kind of. So there you go. But that's what this is. This is him working in us as we cooperate with him. So that being said, let's talk about, we're going to talk about three ways that we can bring our tongue under the control of the Lord, okay? And this isn't like, do these things and your tongue's best. Yeah, great. Like, you're all good, right? This is really us walking day by day with the Spirit. This is something that we're going to have to do for the rest of our lives, because we've got to, for the rest of our lives, walk in the Spirit and be controlled by the Lord, okay? So the first thing we want to do if we want to bring our tongues under the control of the Lord is we've got to let somebody purer cleanse it. You see, we've already said we can't cleanse our own tongues, can't we? Because we can't cleanse our own hearts. And so we've got to let the Lord do the cleansing in us. And you see, I think it's really important that we get to the place where we are daily realizing just our desperate need for the Lord to purify us. It was interesting, at the beginning of this summer, I was actually just feeling, it was really for a totally different reason, but I was kind of feeling like I just was lacking some joy in my life. So I began to go through scripture to see why that might be. And so I began to look at all the scriptures I could that talked about joy. And one scripture that I came across was Psalm 51, 10 through 12, which says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." So this is why I really started going through this scripture, was for that particular phrase. "And renew a willing spirit within me." So I began to study this this passage, really, and to pray it. And I decided I was going to pray this passage back to God every day. And I've been doing that. And I want to tell you something. Just that first little phrase, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Man, that's really been tearing me up, because I need God. Sorry, I didn't think I'd do this. I need the Lord to change my heart. I can't do it. And he desires to, man. He wants to cleanse me. But until I realize my need for him and my desperate need for his cleansing in my life, man, I'm not really going to seek it very much, am I? So it all starts with me saying, "Lord, I can't do it. I need your cleansing. Will you touch me? Will you make me clean? My mind, my will, my emotions, every part of me, Lord, will you cleanse me?" And so really, we have to get to the place, and I'm really asking you a question now. Are you at that place where you are recognizing your desperate need for the Lord's cleansing? Because until you do, you're not going to seek after him in the way that you need to walk in a place where your tongue is being cleansed, because your heart's being cleansed. Now, the next thing we need to do after we have begun to seek this pure heart, going to the Lord, "Purify me, Lord, cleanse me, Lord," is that we've got to then go to him and say, "Lord, you've got to direct my mouth." So not only does he have to cleanse us, but he's got to direct us. And, you know, you think back to that bit and that rudder, and you think back to the question, really, am I directable, or am I fighting that bit? Am I trying to grab that rudder, and I'm trying to direct the Lord and say, "Lord, I know better. I want to go this way, Lord. I'll let you do this, or I'm doing the other one." If we're doing that, man, we're not allowing the Lord to direct our mouths, and it's not going to be sending us down a path that is safe and right, because he's not the one being allowed to direct us. A number of years ago, my husband was struggling. I've shared this story before, but my husband was really struggling. And he was going through a time where he was really doubting God in a lot of ways, and he wasn't responding to the Lord really well. And of course, I knew how he needed to respond, right? So I started talking to him about how he needed to be responding to the Lord, because of course I knew. And let me tell you, that didn't go over real well. And I was really frustrated at that time, and every once in a while I would talk to him again, and he would just be like, "You're nagging me, blah, blah, blah." And of course, that's how it came off, and it really was that. It really was that. And I was praying about it one day, and the Lord spoke to me really clearly. And he said, "Christy, keep your mouth shut. You are not the Holy Spirit, and I know what he needs. You don't. Keep your mouth shut." And I'll tell you, that was a process, because it was a number of years of keeping my mouth shut. But I'm so glad that I listened to the direction of the Lord, because you know what? He knew what my husband needed. I didn't know what he needed. And then the Lord was able to do a work in him, and the Lord got all the glory for it. And he's still getting the glory for it, because it wasn't my job to do it. I'm not the Holy Spirit. And if I would not have listened to the Lord that day, I'll tell you what, I think I would have hindered the work of the Lord in my husband's life if I hadn't listened to his direction that day and continued to listen to it. And so we've got to be at a place where we are listening to the direction of the Lord in our speech. If we want our speech to be transformed, we got to listen to him, because let me tell you, we don't know how to say what we should say or when we shouldn't say it. We've got to listen to him. And so we're letting the Lord cleanse us. We're letting the Lord direct us. And finally, we're letting the Lord teach us. We've got to ask somebody wiser what to say. I mean, we do not know what we should say as we should say it. But I'll tell you what, the Lord does know, doesn't he? There's a I think it's in the book of John. There's a story of Jesus, and he's giving some really hard teaching to a big group of his disciples. And after that teaching, many of the disciples walked away. And it wasn't the 12, but it was a larger group. And Jesus turned to the 12 then, and he said to them, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter looked at him, and he said, "Lord, where would we go? You alone have the words of life." And you see, the Lord knows the words of life. The Lord has the words of life. He desires your words to be life. And so we've got to go to him to learn what it is we need to be speaking, right? He knows what we need to be saying. And I'll tell you, in order to know what we need to say, we've got to go to the Word. And one thing you could do is, I know that a couple weeks ago, Jonna gave us these pages of Scripture, right, that talked about what Scripture that she uses in regards to her speech. That would be one thing you could do, to begin to think about, Lord, what do I need to say? How do I need to say it? Go back to those pages of Scripture and reference those and begin to go through those. Another thing you can do, and here's what I would encourage you to do, is to take a step back before you speak, all right? Now, we're going to use this word step as an analogy, because before we speak, we want to make sure that what's coming out of our mouths is going to be honorable to the Lord, is going to bring life. And there's a lot of, you know, scriptures we could use, a lot of things we can use, but we're going to use this analogy of step, okay? So we're going to take a step back. So that means before we speak, we're going to ask ourselves first, is it sweet? Is it sweet? This comes from Colossians 4:6. And Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man." And that word sweet really comes from the word grace, because that word grace there means to be sweet or pleasant. So if what I'm saying is either in the words I'm speaking or the way in which I'm speaking it, because it's also referring to our tone, is not sweet, then I need to take a step back and reevaluate what I'm saying and how I'm saying it. The T there, before I speak, I want to ask myself, is it true? Is it true? That comes from Ephesians 4:25, which says, "Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another." So if the words that I'm saying, or even if you think about it, the way I'm saying it, if I'm being manipulative in how I'm saying it, if I'm speaking in any kind of shaded way or half-truth, I need to stop, step back, and reevaluate. What's coming out of my mouth? Why is it coming out of my mouth? And we're not doing this like as like this three-step process, and then we're all good, right? This is just giving the Lord opportunity to speak to us and work. This is us allowing his word to do a work in our hearts. This is why we do things like this. All right, so then we're going to say the E. Is it edifying? Is it edifying? This comes from Ephesians 4:29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." Now, the word edifying means to build up. That's what it means. It means literally to build up so that the other person may be a place where the Lord can be at home. So if my speech is encouraging, building up, and directing towards the Lord, that's what I want it to be. If it's in any way tearing down, I want to step back. I don't want that to come out of my mouth in that way. I need to reevaluate. And finally, the P. Is it preserving? Is it preserving? And that goes back to Colossians 4:6 again, which talks about our speech being seasoned with salt. You see, salt is a preservative, isn't it? And salt helps things to last longer. And if our speech in any way is going to damage our relationships, we need to take a step back before we say those words. Another thing that salt does is it creates a pure environment. Did you know that's why it's a preservative? Because it literally creates a pure environment where no pathogens or bacteria can grow. And so I also have to think here, is my speech pure? Is it creating an environment for purity? Because if it's not, then I want to take a step back and I want to reevaluate that. Now, it is important to remember here that all these things, all four of these things, need to be present when we speak. Because just say that your speech is edifying, but it's not true, there might be a problem with that. Have you ever seen those American Idol, like, tryouts? I feel like there's always somebody who, and I don't usually watch it, my sister-in-law likes it, but she thinks this is the funniest thing, when there's somebody who's like, "My parents told me that I'm the best singer in the world, and I'm coming here just to show everybody I am. And then they get up there, and you're like, oh my goodness, your parents lied to you because you sound really bad and you are not going to make it through. That's edifying, but not truthful, right? That's not what we want. Or maybe your speech is true, but not sweet. Well, that's not going to be well received either. I think I'm finding that with myself, with my kids, I have to really watch this. It might be true, but is it gracious to them? Or is it coming across in a harsh way? I need to take a step back when it's like that, because that's not going to be received well. That's not glorifying to the Lord. So we've seen today that our speech, our tongues can be a problem because no man can control them and because they're a revelation of what's going on in our hearts. We've seen that our tongues have power. Man, they have the power to direct us. They have towards a path of righteousness. If we are letting the Lord control them, they have the power to direct us down a dangerous path if they are uncontrolled. We have seen that our tongues have the potential, if they're controlled, to be used for great good. And then if they're uncontrolled, to be used for great evil. And we've talked about then how we can bring our tongues under the control of the Lord by allowing him to cleanse us, by allowing him to direct us, and by allowing him to teach us. So we're going to come back to this question now. What does your tongue reveal about your heart? We're going to go to a little time of prayer right now. And as we pray together, I'm just going to really encourage you to ask the Lord to show you what your tongue reveals about your heart and how he wants to transform you so that you can be growing in a maturing faith as evidenced by your speech. So let's go ahead and pray together now.